Everybody, welcome in. My name is Barbara, and as always on Tuesday at this time, you have a space, a seat at the Speak Up table. Today we welcome Idaho State Senator Scott Herndon. He is our senator for District 1, and so we are looking forward to his analysis and his wins and his losses and his opinion with this most recent legislative session. So get out your little notepads and buckle up. It's going to be a good show, and we will be right back after this.
White Cross Pharmacy is your locally owned pharmacy that has been serving North Idaho since 1922, offering an array of pharmacy and compounding services. The local folks at White Cross Pharmacy pride themselves on personable, exceptional, and professional service, with four locations to serve you: Highway 2 in Sandpoint and Priest River, Inside Miller's Harvest Foods in Spirit Lake, and Inside Super 1 in Old Town. Visit them on Facebook or go to whitecrossrx.com.
Spring is here, and it's time to see what's new at Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade, open weekdays, and located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Make sure that your home's heating and cooling system is being cared for by your local dealer, AGE Heating and Cooling, the only independent, locally family-owned Lennox Premier dealer in the greater Sandpoint area. And we're offering up to $1,900 in rebates or 6 months no-interest financing on a new Lennox system. Call now, 208-603-2210, or visit AGEHeatingandCooling.com. That's AGEHeatingandCooling.com. HVAC Contractors License 059041.
Well, hello, folks. It's that time of year again. Time for the annual fundraising breakfast benefiting Lost in the 50s, sponsored by the Selkirk Association of Realtors. Join us Sunday, April 23rd from 7:30 to 12:30 at Second Avenue Pizza, located at 215 South 2nd Avenue. Breakfast includes generous portions of scrambled eggs, pancakes, potatoes, sausage, bacon, and fruit. The price is $15 per person and $10 for kids 10 and under. We hope to see you there.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. You can always find people who are helping. Thank you to all the first responders who put their lives in danger to help us when my brothers and sisters need them. We look out for the helpers because they look out for us.
Thank you, first responders! Thank you, first responders!
Learn how you can help first responders by texting BRAVE to 24365.
KBFI. KSPT, North Idaho's Radio.
Hey everybody, all right, welcome in and say hello with me and welcome to Senator Scott Herndon. Scott, thank you so much. I know you've got a busy schedule and we're happy to have you.
Well, thanks for having me, Barbara. It's a pleasure to be back again.
Yes, back home. Mm-hmm. All right, I want to start with what I consider to be a really stunning news item that BGH, Bonner General Health, is terminating all obstetric care, and they will not be delivering babies beginning as early as next month, the early part of May. And in speaking with a hospital trustee last week, one of the reasons given was the political climate in Idaho. And that's code for pro-abortion or pro-life. And so I want, I've talked to a lot of people this week that do not understand the current abortion laws in Idaho. And I'd like you to straighten us out on that. What is the law?
Okay. Well, first I'll start out by saying BGH had three reasons that they were closing that practice. And the political climate was the last of the three. And so I think it's really the first two of the three that are the primary drivers, because I studied rural hospitals across America, and we've been seeing this shift. It doesn't matter what state you're in and what the abortion laws are. It's happening everywhere, and I think that's a consolidation of the industry. It has to do with how their business model works, what their biggest payers are, Medicaid and Medicare, but going to the local situation and what the current law is. The current law is actually very much like it was for 110 years in Idaho. From Abraham Lincoln signed the territorial law that made Idaho a territory. Our assembly met in 1863. It passed laws that had to do with abortion. Those laws stayed essentially the same all the way up to 1973. And the laws that we have today are almost exactly the same as that 110-year period. And during all those 110 years, and today, you can have legitimate practice of obstetrics and gynecology services and labor and delivery services without fearing that you're going to run afoul of some criminal law. And that's the key thing that people need to know. And what we did in the legislature this year is we took a Supreme Court decision of the Idaho Supreme Court that was issued on January 5th related to our abortion laws. And it was very clear. The Supreme Court laid out exactly what physicians can and cannot do so that there was no lack of clarity. And I'll give examples. And what we did was we codified that during this legislative session as part of House Bill 374. But it was already in Idaho code. So we were just being generous and saying, let's make it really clear. Let's take that court opinion, put it in the text of Idaho code. If you're treating a mother for an ectopic pregnancy, if she's having a miscarriage, if the baby has already died, or if the baby's in distress and the mother's in distress, you can treat both patients. And yes, you can prioritize the mother. That's a standard care of triage. That is all legal. The other thing that we did that I think was really good is the previous law that was briefly in place before we passed House Bill 374 had in it what's called an affirmative defense. It kind of presumes a physician who's acting legitimately could be guilty of violating our criminal laws, and we got rid of that. And I like that because we want a presumption of innocence that physicians that act in good faith in legitimate medical practice when they're treating the health and life and taking care of a mother are not going to run afoul of Idaho's criminal laws. And that's just very clear now.
So just to be clear, if a mother's health or her life is in jeopardy, do the physicians in Idaho today have the option to abort that baby?
If her life is in jeopardy, they do. And so that's an option. And
the answer is yes.
Yeah. And so they may have to abort the baby. They should also try to save the baby,
well,
but that's something that I think people would try to do anyway.
In other words, it's the physician's decision as he looks at the mom and the situation that's going on in front of him. If the mother's life is in serious risk, in serious danger, life and death, or just in serious risk, he can abort the baby and there'll be no criminal.
Right. I'll talk about the language we actually use in the code and what the Supreme Court said about it. It says, if in his good faith medical judgment, the abortion is necessary. And the Supreme Court laid out exactly what that means. They said that is a broad standard and it is subjective. It literally grants as wide a latitude as necessary.
It's subjective to the doctor. They don't have to call a bureaucrat in Boise. They don't have to call, you know, somebody on the phone, the insurance. No, it's up to their best medical discretion.
It gives great deference. I want to mention briefly, though, we've had an induced abortion reporting law in the state of Idaho for a really long time, decades, and none of the northern hospitals up here in Idaho, Kootenai Health, Boundary Community Hospital, or Bonner General, have reported any induced abortions for as long as I looked at the numbers. So I think they follow the law, and I'm guessing that they're not doing quote induced abortions, and so I think that they've always
clearly
been fine.
They're not doing abortions. I mean, I think the demand is it's just like rape and incest in Idaho law. If someone gets pregnant as a result of rape or incest, and I understand there needs to be a police report, which makes sense to me. You have to step up and say, yeah, it was rape or it was incest, and that's great, and that's good that that's in there. They can also have an abortion, but I mean, I don't know what the percentages are. I mean, if we haven't had any abortions, I don't know what rape and incest has ever happened in this state that's produced a baby. I mean, we wouldn't know. I mean, there are probably ways that we wouldn't know, but it must be extraordinarily rare.
It would be rare, but also, let's be frank, Washington's not very far away. And
true.
My guess is they would just go to Washington.
Well, that's
in
their
that
option.
Case.
That's their option. Washington can do what they want to do. And I know people that go to dermatologists in Spokane Valley. I don't know why they drive that far, because we've got good dermatologists here. But it is a choice that people have. And I talked to so many people this week, Scott, that didn't understand this. In fact, there was a letter in the Daily Bee that said, no, Idaho allows no abortions for no reason, no exceptions. And that's just either that person is misinformed or they're purposefully
I've read people claiming that Republicans or the Republican legislature doesn't want to allow the treatment of mothers in legitimate medical distress. And that's just absolutely not true.
Yeah.
And if they read our law, they'll see very clearly that that's exactly what all the Republicans voted for this year is we want to allow legitimate medical treatment. And I'll finish with this. Kootenai Health, we have to remember, operates in the same political environment that Bonner General operates in. And they're not closing their labor and delivery services,
No. So
they're not concerned. So I think it really speaks to those other business decisions that...
I know, you're being very gracious about that because I reject those. I mean, our birthing from the year before to last year is up, and we have lots of people that are concerned, mamas and dads that are pregnant, and they're concerned about that drive to Coeur d'Alene. This is Barbara saying, this is not Scott Herndon saying this. I think they're holding this obstetric care and baby delivery hostage because they have an agenda over here. For some reason, they want much more liberal pro-choice. I hate that.
Well,
death for
I can
baby.
Speak to that.
Okay.
The Idaho Medical Association came to me at the very beginning of this legislative session. And they said, Scott, we want to be able to do more abortion. That's what they said.
Yeah.
And that's what they pushed for. They had it in House
Bill. We haven't done any here for, decades.
Right. And so it doesn't really make sense. I told them that. I said, well, your hospitals aren't showing that they're doing any, so that doesn't make sense. But I really think they were trying to play political hardball with the legislature to get us to grant them that ability. And we said, no, we're not going to just grant you abortion on demand. That's not going to happen.
Exactly.
But that's really what they were trying to do. And I think this was playing politics.
There was an article in the newspaper by a gal called Deb Owens, who I don't know. I don't know who she is or where she works or what. But she was calling voters. This is a voters issue that we need to be voting in different people. And I kind of saw you in the crosshairs there.
Well, here's the bottom line for Idaho. Idaho is dominated by people who hold to a pro-life position, and they think that human life has value. And so they want laws that protect the value of human life. And that's what we have in place right now. It protects the value of mothers' lives, fathers' lives, children's lives, preborn children's lives. And I think that's what voters actually want in Idaho. And that's why 82% of the legislature is Republicans that hold to a pro-life position, because that's what the voters want.
I agree 100%. I mean, people want the baby to live and to come into this world and be loved and be productive and thrive. However, if the mother's life is in danger, in the opinion and the best medical call of the doctor, then yes. He can make that call and save that mom. Mm. We are concerned about mom's health, too. All right, let's change over here. There are some big wins this legislative session. Let's go to the property tax. People really like what is happening. It's a little bit complicated, but straighten it out for us. Give us the high points.
Well, I'll give you the real high point is you're going to see an average of about a 19.2% savings on your property tax bill. That's a huge number. That's going to vary among different property taxpayers, but it's going to range from 10 to 25% reduction. And what we did, this is true tax relief because it takes sales taxes that we're also already paying.
Okay.
And it's going to take a portion of those sales taxes to relieve our property taxes. that we're already paying. So in your total picture as a taxpayer, you are going to save money. We're basically taking the budget surplus that we have at the state level. Mm-hmm. We take in revenues from corporate and personal income taxes. Today's tax day, April 18th. I just sent a $2,000 check to the state. And that money all goes into the general fund, and we're using part of that money from sales taxes to help relieve our property taxes. It was a big win for Republicans. It was a big win for the legislature because the governor vetoed that bill. And one of the reasons he vetoed the bill was because we also, in that bill, coming from the House, removed the March election date. And he didn't like that. I don't think the education establishment liked that, but we were not going to let the opportunity go to give property tax relief. The voters told us very clearly that that was their number one priority. That was the big ticket item they wanted done this year. We gave them income tax relief in previous sessions.
Yep.
And so this year we delivered property tax relief. It was the first veto override. All 28 Republicans in the Senate.
What, 20, 15 years?
Since 2007. And all Republicans in the Senate voted for that. And all the Democrats opposed the override. So they were not going to deliver property tax relief. And that was all we were going to get. We were winding down the session, and that was our opportunity, and we took it.
That is huge. Thank you for doing that. All of the people that voted for that, and all of the Democrats voted against the property tax relief. That to me is just like, what were they thinking? It was gonna override the governor's veto, so it was kind of a safe yes vote. Just get on board and say yes. The other thing I like, Scott, that I understood is sometimes there have been proposals, well, if we raise sales tax 2%, then we can give you a break over here. Well, wait a minute, you're charging me more over here and taking. And what you're saying is nothing's going up to give us this reduction. It's like you're just taking money that's already there and you're moving it over here to property tax relief.
Exactly right. Just like we spend money at the state level on other governmental programs like the Idaho State Police, we're basically saying let's take some of that money that we have at the state level and let's use it to fund our local governments, reducing your property tax burden. That is what the solution we implemented in House Bill 292 does.
Right. That is awesome. Moving into education, I was pretty impressed with the idea that I know this sounds like it's a limitation, but it's a really good limitation, that student IDs are no longer accepted for purposes of identifying someone to vote. What's the thinking behind that?
So that was a bill I carried in the Senate. It was a bill that the opposition, very little of it. It was, again, one of those partisan votes. All Republicans voted in favor. All the Democrats voted against it. But here's the reality. We looked at the last election, and there were numerous forms of ID available. And we care about election integrity. We want to make sure that the voter who shows up is the eligible voter who's registered to vote, and so that we know that the people making decisions, these are important decisions about who fills our seats in government, that they got there legitimately. That's the goal, election integrity. And we looked at all the ways that people prove their identity. And student ID was second to last. There were only 104 people in the entire state who used a student ID in the November 2022 general election. Below that was tribal IDs. There were 50-something people that used a tribal ID. And here was the problem with the student ID compared to other government IDs. They're not uniform. They're issued by high schools, colleges, trade schools, and the data that they present about the voter is not uniform. Some don't even have a photo. And then not all of them require the presentation of a social security number, a birth certificate. So they're not the best form to guarantee that the person in front of you is who they say they are. And so it was low-hanging fruit to eliminate that.
Yeah.
When we eliminated it by passing House Bill 124, they could still go to the poll and sign a personal affidavit and swear they're the person who they say they are. That's still available to them. But also in House Bill 340, we gave them a free state-issued identification card, a government-issued ID. And that's the key. Student IDs are not government-issued IDs.
Exactly.
And we want people to use government-issued IDs.
Yeah, you know, I'll guarantee you're not going to get through airport security with a student ID, so you better get the driver's license or an Idaho State identification card or a passport.
Yeah. And driver's licenses, it turns out, are 99% of what people use for voter verification anyway. So sure enough, we guess that's what they use and that's what most people use.
Yeah.
But there is that identification card. You can have a passport. You can have a military ID, federal government issued ID. So there's plenty of other options.
Take care of business and get your ID. All right. Staying with education for just a moment, you mentioned about the March election, that there have been special elections, usually school elections, levies and things, and that's been taken away. They have to consolidate their election now in the May, November, I think.
They have three now. They used to have four.
August,
they had,
so
yeah,
May,
they had March,
August.
May, August, November. They were the only ones, schools were the only ones that could run elections in March and August. And we took away the March election date. But here's a key. Take Boundary County as an example. If you look at the levies that they have passed, they are 100% successful when they run a levy in May. But they're not always successful in March. Now, they wanted the March election date. But there are good reasons to consolidate elections.
You get more people turning out and supporting whatever your cause is and whatever it is.
You also save taxpayer money because you don't have to run another election. And with that March and May election date really close together, the county clerks have a lot of work they have to do in a very short turnaround.
Exactly.
And so,
what are we going to take away the August option too? Let's just take away August.
No, that bill, there was a bill that was going to take away the August election date as well. That bill did not make it. I don't remember. It was a House bill. I want to say, I don't even remember the number. You know, 335 bills we voted on. But it did not make it. We never took a vote on it in the Senate. So it died in the Senate.
Okay.
However, it was going to get rid of the August election date. My guess is that's going to stay there. I have no idea what the future holds.
All right. Well, we're up against another break. We're going to take that right now. Don't go anywhere. We will be back.
Bonner's Ferry Glass has long been the place to go for a multitude of services, including rock chip repair or windshield replacement and lock and key services. Plus, you'll always find a staff of trained professionals at Bonner's Ferry Glass. If you need commercial and or residential doors, windows, garage doors, screen window and door repair, or even custom glass cutting for tabletops or picture frames, they do it all at Bonner's Ferry Glass on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
His music, his way. Charlie Crockett.
I'm just a clown.
Live.
That's what they say.
Friday, July 21st, the Fox Theater. Charlie Crockett.
Trinity River.
The new album, The Man from Waco, out now. Tickets are on sale now at FoxTheaterSpokane.com or by phone 509-624-1200. Charlie Crockett, live.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire, or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free, quick quote. Call 800-736-6158 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-736-6158. That's 800-736-6158. What do you have to lose? Call 800-736-6158. Again, 800-736-6158.
Every 2 minutes, a woman in the U.S. is diagnosed with breast cancer. And in that split-second moment in time, her life changes forever. The toll of breast cancer is great. The need to support those who are battling the disease today is even greater. And that's why when others look away, Susan G. Komen leans in. We're fighting alongside patients because we know one moment can change a lifetime. Fighting Breast Cancer takes funding for research to discover the next new treatment, providing access to quality and affordable health care, and people willing to take action by raising funds and raising their voice to advocate for others. United by hope, we can end breast cancer. Join our fight. Save lives.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. We're talking today with District 1 Idaho State Senator Scott Herndon. I hope you're enjoying the conversation, and I hope you're really catching some of this, because our legislature delivered a lot of good things to us, common sense, really good things going on in Boise this year. And we're going to talk about some more of those right now in the area of education. Let's talk about students are now required to use bathrooms and locker rooms according to the gender they were assigned at birth. My mom and dad would just laugh at this. They're just like, what? You guys, what went wrong with you that you have to pass a law that says that?
Well, it tells you the times we're in. We didn't have to pass this law 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. I was sitting in the Senate Education Committee, and Becky Meyer, LPOSD superintendent, was down in Boise representing the region. There were six superintendents in the room, and we asked them, we said, what's your top legislative priority for this session? And they said, we need a bathroom bill. Believe it or not.
So they wanted it to be a
They wanted it. Jan Bayer up in Boundary County wanted it. Wes Bonner wanted it. They all wanted it.
That's their cover.
Yeah.
When
they knew they were in trouble if they didn't have it, because someone was going to sue them for not accommodating someone's gender dysphoria.
Yeah.
And the key with the bill, Senate Bill 1100 passed. I don't even remember what the vote count. I'm going to guess it was Republican Democrat.
Yeah.
And that passed. And what it says is if you have the anatomy and gender identification of a male at birth, then you have to use a male restroom at the school. Or if you were a female, then you have to use a female restroom. And they have to accommodate people who don't want to use one of those two restrooms. But you can't be a boy and use a girl's restroom, and vice versa. And that's what Senate Bill 1100 did. And we live in that kind of a world where we have to make that very clear that that's the case.
I know. I don't know if I want to make a joke about this, but there's a cartoon where someone's looking in the baby carriage and say, is it a boy or a girl? And they say, we don't know. We have to wait till it's in the first grade, you know, and the teacher will tell us what we've got. I'm like, okay, that's not funny.
You know what? I always say, look, in most rooms, I can pretty much pick out male and female, and I never usually have a doubt about that. But someone said in Senate Education, they said, well, let's say the quiet part out loud. You guys are against trans people. We're not against anybody. But what we want to do is protect the privacy of people in school bathrooms. If you're male or female, you shouldn't have to jeopardize your privacy with people of the opposite sex. And that's what the bill was about. And if you, for some reason, need to be accommodated in some other way, we're not going to accommodate you while imposing upon the
exactly.
privacy of other people.
Let's look at the other bill. Was it 292? No. Keeping minors safe from any kind of drugs or surgeries. I mean, where people want to do surgery and do drugs on minors without parental consent. I mean, the whole thing is crazy to me. If as an adult, someone wants to go in and begin that procedure on themselves, that's an adult decision. And so I was really proud of what the legislature did with this issue. Tell our audience about that.
Yeah, that was House Bill 71. It is now a 10-year felony if you perform gender mutilation. I call it gender mutilation surgery on a minor, a child, someone under the 18 years of age. And if you use puberty blockers and hormone blockers for the purpose of transitioning their, quote, gender. But look, people are born one biological sex or another, and what we don't want to do is it. We got expert medical testimony, not only in public committee rooms, but also we met with people privately, the entire Republican caucus, and we heard from all sides. And we are convinced that there is great harm caused to children if we allow them to go through these transitions, these surgeries, and these drugs, and that harm is irreversible.
At that age.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so what we're saying is you have to be an adult to consent to that. Because if you do this when you're a child, and if you know a lot about the formation and brain development in a human being, it's often said that males do not have a fully formed brain until they're close to 25. So you're making – the reason we hold people back from being able to make decisions, we don't even let people smoke until right. they're 21. And so this is in line with that. We don't let them drink until they're 21. We don't let them smoke until they're 21. We don't let them drive until a certain age. And we're not going to let them be gender mutilated surgically and cause permanent damage to their body that they have to live with the rest of their life until they're of the age of 18 or older.
You know, staying with the idea of how we in Idaho strive to protect our children in lots of different environments and reasons. Unfortunately, there was a loss this year, and it was Governor Little who delivered the loss, where he did not sign the bill that would have taken away the loophole that libraries and museums have for pornographic material for the little kids, not I guess they can have pornography for adults on the shelves. Maybe they do, but not for the kids. And that unfortunately died on the governor's desk, right?
Right. He vetoed the bill. It was House Bill 314. This was House Bill 666 last year. The situation is this. It is a crime right now if I go out on the street and I give certain obscene materials to a child. That's a crime if you do it. It's a crime if I do it.
Yep.
But in that section of criminal code that's been on the books for a really long time, with the definition of obscenity that's been there a really long time, we have an exception if you're a library or a school. And so what we wanted to do was say, hey, we're not going to ban books or materials from the government-run libraries, because people will say, this is a parental rights issue. This is a government-run, owned, paid-for, taxpayer-funded library that we're talking about. So no wonder the government wants to have a say with what kind of conduct happens there with materials. And we're not getting rid of any materials. We're not banning any. We're just saying materials that are defined as obscene already in Idaho criminal code cannot be given by the government employees, by the library, to children under the age of 18. And we're also saying they have to take – that the library would have to take reasonable precautions to keep those materials from getting into the hands of a minor. It doesn't make the library liable if there's a mistake or an accident. And it doesn't ban the Bible, and it doesn't ban Michelangelo, because the standard for obscenity is already in criminal code. It's already been tested by the Supreme Court for 50 years.
They can have art books if they want out there for the – this is for the kids. This is for the young people under 18.
And people will say, these materials don't actually exist. Oh, yeah, they exist. I've seen them. And they're targeted at children. And this is stuff that did not exist 20 years ago.
Right.
And that's the key, that children, there is a predatory behavior and grooming behavior toward children. And that's the kind of material we're talking about.
Well, maybe it'll pass next year. It passed. It went to the governor. He vetoed it. And there was, of course, an effort to override it. And it lost by one vote to override yet again the governor. I cannot believe that he did not sign this in the law.
Well, and that was in the House.
What was he thinking?
But I will say that in the Senate, we had enough votes to override.
Yeah.
And so we've got to clean up the House, so to speak, a little bit.
Well, our representative, Mark Sauter, voted to keep these graphic books on the shelves for little kids. And I just don't understand. I literally don't understand that. I just think this is almost a no-brainer. you know, just, yeah, no, we don't want this kind of material. You can have your own private library at home. You want to expose your kids to this, then you can have it at your home, but not in a taxpayer public funded library where everyone's kids are coming in and out. It concerns me. All right. Now, let me see. We are up against another break. We're going to take that break right now. And when we come back, we have a lot more to talk about, Scott. Want to talk about there's more in the education area, like the launch program that did pass, the educational savings accounts that did not pass. So we've got a lot still to deal with. All right, everybody, stick around. We'll be back.
Take living to the next level at Under the Sun in downtown Bonner's Ferry. Come shop with friends and enjoy lunch in the bistro with its wonderful food selection, plus beer and wine, and the espresso bar with its organic coffee and more. Downstairs, you can explore the new women's consignment clothing boutique, Handpicked. Open at 9 a.m. Monday through Saturday. Under the Sun, where the sun is always shining.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. I knew we could not put off getting life insurance. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $40 a month. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $18 a month.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-452-5050 or go to SelectQuote.com now. That's 1-800-452-5050.
Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
If you have ever thought about remodeling your bathroom but were worried it would take too long or cost too much, then stop worrying. Right now, Jacuzzi Bath Remodel has designed a collection of high-quality custom products and perfected the one-day remodeling experience so you can enjoy your new bathroom faster than ever before. It's a worry-free bathroom remodel from the most trusted brand name in the business, Jacuzzi. For a virtual or in-home appointment, call 800-826-9895. That's 800-826-9895. 800-826-9895.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with Syntec and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Syntec Premium Full Synthetic Motor Oil is formulated for today's engines to dissipate heat and friction and reduce wear. Get 5 quarts of Syntec Full Synthetic and a MicroGuard Select Filter for just $33.99. Limit supply. See store for details. Get Syntec only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities. I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
Me too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
KBFI 1450, KSPT 1400, and 97.1 FM.
Everybody, welcome in. We are talking today with Senator Scott Herndon. I've already decided he's got to come back because I've got, you know, 20 more things on my list, time for four. So let's begin with some more areas in education where I think there were a lot of good ideas, some a lot passed and some didn't. One that passed was the launch program. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I voted against it. And originally, we had enough Senate votes. It barely passed the House.
Right.
And then originally, when we talked about it in the Republican caucus, we had – it wouldn't have passed. But I think the governor really worked it. It sat on our side for a couple of months. And I think the governor's staff really worked the people he thought he could pull. Here's what it does and the reason I was opposed. It's not for K through 12 education. It is for post-secondary education. It's going to give $8,000 of yours and my money to every high school graduate. Every high school graduate. No pre-qualifications. But really what it's going to do is it's going to train people to fit into what I call corporate jobs. Trade jobs, corporate jobs. IACI, the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry, really wanted it because it's a worker training program for their member companies.
Well, it's money. They're going to go to their schools and their internship programs, and they're going to spend $8,000.
Yeah. If you didn't like Joe Biden relieving $10,000 of student loan debt, then you shouldn't like this, because this is no different. It's giving them $8,000 to get trained or attend community college or trade school. But here's what's going to happen. All it's going to do is it's going to raise prices, because the government's now going to take your money, give $8,000 over here, and that's going to increase the prices of everything in
that
market.
It's been going on at university and colleges for decades, where, I mean, we have small college presidents earning, you know, $600,000-$700,000 a year. I mean, they're just swimming in money from grants, loans, and free money. The thing that I don't like about it is that everybody gets it. There's just nothing that has to qualify you. And I know there are people out there going, no, equality. No, this is a merit program. To take $10,000 and you've been a D student, and I don't know.
Not only that, you can get trained and leave the state. There's nothing that requires you to stay here.
You don't have to work here for a year or two and use your skills. Okay, well, yeah, it passed. And there we go. We'll see how it plays out and how it gets
initiated. And that's a key. We did manage to get put into it that there's a sunset on that. So we're going to revisit it. I think it's 5 years, 2029. Okay. And if we don't like it in 5 years, if it's not working, it automatically dies. So the legislature is going to get another shot at it.
I think I wrote down the number, but I don't have that number looking at me right now. But the amount, the cost of this per year is
$80 million.
$80 million per year. So times five, that's $400 million that we are committing.
Yeah, $400 million right
there.
There
you go. And the Democrats,
and here's the other thing.
Democrats loved it.
Valley View Elementary School in Boundary County is falling down in Jan Bayer, and they want money to fix that school. And instead, we're going to spend $80 million this year doing something brand new that doesn't fix that school. And I always make the point that reading proficiency in Idaho right now at eighth grade level is only
like
32%.
I was going to say it's in the 30s.
So we're going to spend money after graduating, right, but we're not even fixing the math and reading problems that we have in the current system.
That welding program at NIC is going to have to teach them to read.
And this is the point. Now you're going to take them to welding program and they're not going to be able to read the manual.
Exactly. All right. Another area in education that died apparently in the Senate or in committee was the educational savings accounts. Those are so good. We have medical savings accounts. They're really good. They help families. Why did this not take off?
Well, we actually passed a really restricted version of it. If I remember right, it was Senate Bill 1161, but the one you're talking about was Senate Bill 1038, which was what we call a universal ESA. Here's the whole benefit of this program and what the goal was. And 1161 passed the Senate, but it did not get a hearing in the House, so it didn't become law. The goal of an ESA, and the homeschoolers were all concerned, because they said, well, the thing is, if you create a program that has government money in the K-12 space, and what it's designed to do is give people an option. Right now, they only have one option, although we passed open enrollment, which we can talk about. But they only have one option. They have their local public schools. They also now have some charter schools, but we don't have a lot of charter schools around the state.
And they're public.
They're public. So we don't really have a lot of options. And what we're trying to do is increase the performance of students, math, science, reading. And the ESA is designed to take people who are not fitting and performing well in our public schools using the same public money that we're constitutionally obligated to provide and give them another option. That's what the ESA was designed to do. They could take public money and they could use it in ways that benefit them. And they get to choose tuition grants, scholarships to different programs. They could enroll in tutorship programs, and it just offers that opportunity. and we're not quite there yet. Other states have done it, and we've seen measurable performance benefits in other states of students, and that's what we're hoping to achieve here. This is an idea that is not going away.
No, this is going to happen. It's such a good idea. And yeah, it's going to have some rules and boundaries around it. That's to be expected. And I just think the homeschool, I understand they don't want government money if it's got strings that they can't do that, like they can't teach the Bible or they can't pray during class or whatever they're concerned about, whether it's something to do with their faith or something to do with their curriculum.
And here's what I said to the homeschoolers. The bills that we considered had no strings attached for homeschoolers. It did not, and homeschoolers don't have to participate. It's an opt-in program. And I, to the homeschoolers, I say, if you're concerned about government reach, you have to be concerned about that anyway.
Yeah.
That could happen in any given year.
Exactly.
And by the way, so next year,
with no money.
Yeah, next year I'm planning to actually run a constitutional amendment to put homeschool protections in the Idaho Constitution because they're not currently there. That's the only way you're really going to protect homeschooling in the long run.
You know, here's another one. That has to do with, there was a bill that said parents need to be notified and give their consent before sex education is taught to their fifth grade and below students. So first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade. And, or it's below fifth grade, so maybe it's first, second, third, fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is the most reasonable thing in the world because a lot of parents will opt in. They're going to say, that's fine. I'm on board with this. I've seen the book. But it gives parent, it tells them and it gives them to advise and consent. Why did that pass?
So it made progress in the Senate. It came out of our committee, Senate Education Committee.
And that's the committee you sit on.
Yeah, because what we don't want to do is we don't want to sexualize children. By the way, going back to that library bill, here's the key. It's not just normal biological sex. It was used the word prurient, which means excessive interest in sex. Like, well, you don't want to do that to children.
Yeah.
That's what House Bill 314 had. That's a key part.
Well, that'll come back. That one's
in. Yeah. So same thing here. What we're trying to say is, look, there are children at a certain age, fine, if they live on a farm, they see the cows and the animals. But let's not obsess over sex for minor children and very young children. And this was through the fourth grade. And I suspect we'll see that one again next year. And I think our roadblock ended up being, again, House Education Committee turns out to be a roadblock for a lot of very reasonable ideas that in previous years when that committee was a different membership, it was a lot better on these points.
We've got just 1 minute for a program that did pass, and that was to defund the needle program. I think that is such a health care issue. I'm just so proud of the legislature. Quickly explain what that is to our audience.
Yeah, the needle program, so related to drug addicks, right? I'm treating people
no
that
needles.
Have overdosed, et cetera.
It's the no needle program.
Yeah, and what we've now done is we've taken the money away from that program, and the money that goes to treat drug overdoses is going to go to first responders. They need drugs to overcome and help people recover from an overdose. But what we don't want to be doing is aiding people in their addictions. And that's the money that we cut off.
Right. Those needle programs, I think, have contributed to addiction, to homelessness, and just a whole raft of difficulties that we can look at other cities and we can see what has happened as they've launched it. So Idaho Wisely, I love it that you're taking the money that had been in the needle program or would have gone and moving it over to the first responders because they're the ones who find these kids and hopefully, God willing, saves their lives.
Yeah, and they're professional and they know what they're trying to do and it is a help to society.
All right, that's it. That's the last word. Thanks again, Senator Scott Herndon, for being with us. Next week, we have State Representative Sage Dixon right here giving us his analysis for the legislative session. Until then, this is Barbara saying, take care and may God richly bless you, my friends. We'll be right back.
online at NorthIdahoRadio.com, on air at 1400.